Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There we go.
There we go. You said the words, when it starts, it starts.
When it begins, it begins.
That's the first thing in the Bible.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
When it starts, it starts.
Starts. When it begins, it begins. Bring it back now. MC God.
Chicka chicka wow. Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Do you believe in God?
Absolutely no. No, I mean, no. No, I wouldn't say absolutely.
You're talking to him now.
You won't even qualify as good. How would you go as God? That's blasphemy in a high
I went to a Catholic
level.
School, though.
Yeah, that taught you a lot. Why did you
taught me to be very scared of old men.
Why did you go to Catholic school? So your parents heavily believed?
Not really.
Was it just for the discipline or just better school or?
I think it was
sex. Or?
As an 8-year-old, I said I was quite undersexed, and they said we'll enroll you in here. No, I think I don't know. I think my mum was like from an Irish Catholic background, so but she wasn't like going to church all the time, so it was kind of weird. But I had like brothers and sisters, you know, like priests, you know, like diet priests, and they used to like they were so frustrated. They'd like grab you by the ear and go, "You learn the Bible." It was awful. It was like
frustrated. How you mean? Sexually frustrated?
Just in life, they'd made this decision.
And they can't get out of it.
Yeah. It's like you've gone, I'm going to be Batman.
But wait, you can't get out of it, though. Why? They do
get out of it by doing weird stuff, not bad stuff, and then that's their release.
Then why can't they just go, I've been a priest for 20 years, it was great, but now I'm going to fucking be a carpenter. Just like Jesus.
Like Jesus.
You know, the weirdest part is, I wasn't even thinking about it. But when I said carpenter, I was like, wait a minute, Jesus is a carpenter.
That would be great if 87% of priests just became carpenters.
That was probably the most religious experience I've had, just there.
It was beautiful, man.
That was
it was very enlightening.
Yeah.
We're here. This is episode 146.
One for six.
Again, it's just the two of us. Let's be honest. Fuck nuts. Has not been here for ages, has he? He's in France. He was supposed to be here. We're recording this Friday morning. And then he just wrote on Facebook, I'm in France. I think he just woke up in France.
Yeah, woke up in France, but...
Oh, he's got a friend called France, and he's in him.
That's actually probably the most likely.
And he's saying, I'm sorry.
But to be honest, if he had a friend named France, he wouldn't be in France. France would be in him. To be honest. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm not passing any judgment on what's good or bad. I'm just saying, you know, that's the case.
That is. So he's there now. He was complaining about the price of a ticket from Kniefster to Arlanda. So he's got a lot of problems at the moment.
No, it literally sounded like his wife came in the morning and like, what are you doing? Yeah. He's like, what do you mean? You just woke up. I was like, what do you mean? Why are you screaming at me? She's like, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? She's like, we're leaving in France in 40 minutes. What's wrong with you? He's like, France? And he has no idea. Like,
she gets like a map out and she points at it and he goes, oh, I'm from France.
She has 100% hit him during the marriage.
I hope so.
No, 100%. I mean, I know Rachel, she could be a bit feisty. So I think sometime... He must have, you know, one of those. What do you mean, France? You know, one of those.
She must have. I mean, I've come close to smacking him in the head.
She must have, you know, smacked him like with a, you know, the classic, like with a purse over the head,
or a frying pan.
Maybe that would explain the.
And then he's just shaking his head and gone, What's happening now?
Yeah, so. Exactly. And that's how they went to France. He's like, we're leaving in 40 minutes. He's like, well, have you packed? He's like, packed for what? He's like, we're leaving for France. He's like, oh, shit. And then he just packed in a slumber and looked at the phone when he was sitting in the train or something, in the car, and we said, the part is that, fuck, I'm in France. And you know, just, that's it.
And then he thought he was actually going to work. And then the only thing was when he turned his phone back on and it said, welcome to France. On a message, he was like, I'm in France.
Could he be an international spy and it's all just an act? He's like,
nobody can act this stupid.
No, he may be one of the most brilliant actors. Because listen, who the day before says, all right, we're recording the pod, okay, I get it out, blah, blah, and no mention about going to France. No mention when we discussed we're going to meet in France. Nothing. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, from the clear blue sky, says, well, I'm in France. Who, if you're not, like, randomly...
Are you saying he's like a James Bond kind of...
I wouldn't put him that cool. I would put him...
It must Mr. Bean kind
of... No, but yeah, like a Mr. Bean undercover...
Yeah.
Something. He's, like a spy.
He's got involved in something he should never have got involved in.
Or maybe... I don't think he's the brain... Maybe he's just, like, one of the walking radars. Like a walking listening device. They're like, listen, you got to be in Paris.
I'll be honest with
on
you.
On the street, because Mohammed El Jafar is going to be there as well. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
Go get an ice cream. He said, oh, fuck it, that's great. I love ice cream. He go gets an ice cream and he's bugged, you know, he's bugged.
Yeah.
He doesn't even. So he walks around with this huge, you know, recording, this great technical recording device that can take like a mile recording. he just walks around eating ice cream.
Just in Paris now going, I like ice cream.
And
I like ice cream.
Probably say, like, we're going to put up a meeting with this guy. He's going to introduce you and you can organize a tennis tournament. It's one, you know, it's one of the Super Nine. He's like, really? I don't know anything about tennis. He's like, yeah, but we see potential in you. And he believes this. He goes to his phony meeting. Yeah. The guy doesn't show up. He's like, what the fuck's going on? He's like, am I in France? And then he just goes back, and all this time he's been recording against, like, this Mohammed El Jafar.
Or,
and Patrick Stewart last year as one of the eco-terrorists of Jambalaya.
Or he's just mentally ill.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Right, let's go football. We go Champions League draw. The draw is up. Let's be honest. Bye-bye, Brendan. That must be the group of death. Group C. Let's quickly go through them. Group A, PSG, Arsenal, Basel, and Ludogorets from Bulgaria.
Nobody's expecting a big surprise, but Basel is not a really bad. They've had surprises before in the tournament and in Europa League, so you know that could be the only kind of wild card in that group. Because Ludogorets, nobody expect them to even pick up.
So you'd say Paris and Arsenal.
Yeah, it looks pretty straightforward, doesn't it?
Group B, Benfica, Napoli, Dynamo Kiev, and Besiktas.
Yeah. Bit more open. I think Napoli are the clear favourites, but then Dynamo Kiev, Besiktas, Benfica, you know, it's not that much.
That's quite an open group.
Yeah, it's an interesting group that way.
And then Group C, this is the group of absolute death. Barcelona, City, so Pep goes to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Mönchengladbach.
Wow, what the heck? Sorry. So what happens when you read that in your head?
I can hardly see it, to be honest. And it says Mönchengladbach. Yeah, Mönchengladbach. Yeah, okay. What did I call? Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, Mönchengladbach.
Well, okay, that's a weird thing. And then Celtic. that's amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, when they were doing the round, I saw on Twitter Tottenham fans were like, no. And they thought they were going into this kind of group. You know, going to have Barcelona, City.
City.
I couldn't have City though, could they?
Couldn't have City. So we couldn't go into that group as soon as City went in there, Tottenham.
I think Real Madrid, Dortmund was one of the groups that Tottenham feared as well. But
Same thing with Bayern Atletico.
Yeah, so it's Bayern Atletico who played last year as well.
Yeah.
And Atletico went there and got a result, which was amazing.
Oh, well, that's one of the two powerhouses of late in the tournament as well. Bayern always seems to get very far, as does Atletico.
But Ancelotti will want to win.
Exactly.
You know,
he's got a great, you know, record in the cup, of course. He's won it He's one of the different teams, both with Milan and with Real Madrid. So you know.
So for Group C, you'd probably say Barcelona and City should go through.
Should go through, yeah, of course. And then Mönchengladbach maybe can cause an upset. Yeah. Celtic under Brendan Rodgers, you know what I feel. There's no fucking way he can even.
Well, they beat Barcelona a few years back when they had 18% possession.
Listen,
but
I don't care about that. Because
you never look back, do you?
To win that way,
you never look munching.
To win that way against Barca, as they did, 18% possession, they had a game plan to do it. Brendan Rodgers can't instill that in his teams. That we're gonna keep a clean. His biggest problem is keeping clean sheets.
And they just got through as well. You know, they were 2-0 down. One more goal, they were out.
Yeah.
You know, on away goals as well.
Oh yeah, because they won 5-2. And they were still nearly out of the. They were riding the luck that game, so yeah. they were really close of being eliminated. So no, I don't think nothing happened there. But then Bayern, Atletico, PSV, Rostov. That is a good group as well because, but two top teams, Bayern, Atletico. I mean, considering what they've done of late, especially.
Yeah.
There's no way they won't make that group. I think.
Group E, the mighty Hotspurs.
Probably the most open group of all the groups, because all.
I think Group B is kind of open as well.
Yeah, but. At Group E, I mean, any of those. I mean, the first seeded team is Moscow.
Yeah.
Which was probably the weakest of all the eight. So that was lucky.
With Leicester, I'd say.
Yeah, with Leicester.
Sorry, but
yeah, I agree. The Leverkusen was probably one of the weakest second seeded teams.
Yeah.
And then Tottenham was probably one of the stronger third seeded teams. And then Monaco definitely was the strongest fourth seeded team.
Yeah.
So you've really seen like the two. Biggest seeded are the lowest,
yeah.
and the other seeded are the highest. So on that sense, that's an extremely open group and yeah. a very favorable group for Spurs, I would say. If we got Barcelona, if you got Bayern Munich, Atletico, that would basically mean that we need to have an amazing campaign just to go through.
Yeah.
But this means that we should actually go through on paper, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Leverkusen will be tough.
Leverkusen will be tough. Monaco is a good team. So it's not funny to have them as a seeded four. But as we said, CSKA Moscow is a good team, but by no stretch one of the big four or five. Yeah. No way. So I think that was favourable. So I think it's an open group. Group E will be interesting for the openness, but without the big teams.
Group F, you've got Real Madrid, Dortmund, Sporting, and Legia Warsaw.
Yeah, so two big teams there as well, yeah. Real Madrid, Dortmund, who's both of the teams, same thing. They've done well in Europe of late, especially Real Madrid, won two times in the last 3 years. And then Sporting is a good Portuguese team.
Yeah.
And Legia from Poland, of course, are huge underdogs. Nobody expects anybody else than Real Madrid, Dortmund. Maybe Sporting can spring a surprise. We'll see that. Group E, G, Leicester were lucky.
What did you see when you saw G then? You just said E? Are you okay? Leicester.
Leicester, Porto, Club Bruges, and Copenhagen.
I love that tweet that said, it sounds like an easy jet January sale, the destinations, Leicester, Porto, Bruges, and Copenhagen. Leicester be quite happy with that, though.
They must be enormously happy. I think Porto is a good team amongst all the second seeds. That was probably the easiest they could get. Club Bruges was one of the easiest third teams, I would say. Considering what's there, and Copenhagen, you know.
Probably one of the weakest teams.
Yeah, but there were so many weak teams among the four. I mean, Legia, Ludogorets, Dinamo Zagreb, I think nobody expects them to do much.
Yeah. And then that final group, Group H, quite like this group.
Yeah, this is a good group, I would say. Juventus, Sevilla are good teams, of course, but then Lyon is a very good third
European,
seeded,
very good in the
and,
European.
And good third seeded team.
Yeah.
And then Dinamo Zagreb is a good Croatian team, but, you know, it's a heavy hitters
they're
playing against. So, but we'll see where the surprises will come. I suspect that Group B and E, the Benfica, Napoli, Dinamo Kiev, Besiktas, and then Moscow, Leverkusen, Tottenham, Monaco, I think those are the most difficult to predict.
Yeah, Tottenham at home at Wembley.
Yeah.
That would be really, really interesting.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Just for one, it's just for a year, so it's kind of nice to have it.
Yeah.
In that arena.
Talking of new stadiums and in Europe as well, West Ham went home yesterday. They got a draw over there, but lost.
Ah, terrible.
1-0. Texerina.
I mean, we're talking about
the old former West Brom player got the goal.
Texerina.
Texerina.
Yeah. He's Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, this team is the 11th in the Romanian league. They're not having a good season either.
Yeah.
It's shambolic.
Bilic is lost his mind. With
oh, it's his second year running.
Yeah.
I mean,
Big stadium as well.
I mean, can you imagine how good it would have been for them? Olympic stadium, new stadium. They could have played the reserve team in all their games against Europe. They're going to have European games. Now they got one, and that was the embarrassment of losing at home.
And they might have had a really nice Euro League run as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's not that difficult to go from the group stage. If you're a Premier League team, you should make it from the group stage because it's four teams. And usually you're getting a high seeding, and two of those teams are, you know, pretty weak. We're talking about teams that maybe, you know, it could be like an Allsvens team who's seventh. I mean, you should beat that with your West Ham, you know. I mean, so nah, it's really. I mean, I don't mind as a Spurs supporter, but I think it's second year running. I think when it happened last,
I was quite surprised on Twitter. People were like, "Aha, West Ham, never really liked them." Who do you think's the most disliked, like, London team?
Tottenham.
Do you think?
Yeah, for sure.
I
think for sure.
Chelsea.
Yeah. Okay. If you look at it like that,
I'd say United in the whole of.
No, because I would say Tottenham because all the London teams.
Yeah.
Hate Tottenham, because they all have a connection to Spurs. They don't all have a connection to Arsenal and Chelsea. I mean, Fulham has a connection to Chelsea because of geographics, but not because of the table. So through the years, like, you couldn't catch Arsenal and Chelsea last 10, 15 years, but you could catch Tottenham.
Yeah.
So all the West Ham supporters kind of always looked to beating Spurs and didn't care about losing to Arsenal and Chelsea because that was kind of expected.
Yeah.
So they were always looking, and same thing was when Charlton was there, was Fulham. So I feel a lot of antagonism as a Spurs supporter when I meet other supporters. And because a lot of people go like, Spurs? What the fuck is that? I mean, why do you support a team who's not the best?
Yeah.
So usually people do support, you know, the big. So I kind of feel a bit like, but I agree with you. If you look how the team has been portrayed last 15 years, Chelsea, but from the neutral fans, definitely.
I think also the money coming in.
Yeah, but that's from the neutral fan. I'm thinking, you know, other London supporters and stuff like that. I think Tottenham is high up there.
Yeah,
really, because of the fact how the table has been the last 20 years as well. I mean, we've been in contact with all the London clubs, whilst Arsenal and Chelsea has just been in contact, not even with us really. We've been the closest London club outside of them.
It's weird how, like, say, like Huddersfield have rivalry with Yorkshire team, like they really hate Leeds and Bradford. Not big fans of Sheffield Wednesday, but teams like Barnsley and Rotherham. We're all right with, you know, like they're kind of struggling with us.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Although we are top of the league, so we are not for long. We play Wolves on the weekend. I'm expecting a horsing. A few days now left to go before the transfer window shuts. I've got a sound effect for that. What do you think? It seems to have really gone on. I really agree this season. That it's too long. It should be finished when the season starts.
Ridiculous.
I mean, hell yeah!
Especially when you feel that now it's a strange transfer window because it started off with a lot of teams doing very early business.
And also the Euros. Yeah. So there was much stuff through that.
So it's like in the beginning, just after the season ended, a lot of deals were done. Not a lot, but more than usual. That, you know, for the next season they're going to play here, like Chaka or whatever. And then the Euros came, nothing happened during the Euros. I mean, all the teams said nothing's going to happen. So during that time, nothing happened. And after the Euros, kind of nothing happened as well, like for a week or two. And then slowly, and now it's picking up again. So it's been a big hole. So it feels like it's been two windows almost.
Yeah.
It's just too. And when you see how long it really is, when you see when business is done early, you don't need to have this long of a window. Yeah. I mean, you can. Well, open it a bit earlier then. I don't know. I mean,
and you've also got these players who are playing now. You know, for example, like Kone, he's at Sunderland, and like Everton have been chasing him like the whole thing. And you know, players are getting dropped. You know,
because
of it. You know,
it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid that like I might get interest. It's 3 weeks left in the window. Now it's just a week, but when it was two, like. Is he going to play? Having on a bet? I mean, it's ridiculous. Have it finished before the as soon as the season ends.
Absolutely.
As soon as the season ends, then you're allowed to buy players again, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And as soon as your season begins, that's the end of it. And that's easy as that. How easy as peach. I mean, a day.
Easy as peach?
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of that, mate.
You just heard it, didn't you?
Yeah, but easy as peach.
Easy
like...
as peach, mate.
It's wow, that's easy as peach.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's better than easy than an apple.
Yeah. And Arsenal obviously getting grief. You know, Wenger has got moths in his pockets. You know, doesn't seem to be buying. But now kind of going for it.
Yeah, all of a sudden looks like both Mustafi, short number drop,
from Valencia.
Centre-half, who's a response.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well respected, and he's not that old either. And then Perez from Deportivo as well, a striker.
And they've kind of hijacked that a little bit because he was looked like he was on his way to Everton.
Mm.
So they've come in there.
And that's him for 17 million is quoted and 25 almost for Mustafi. So that brings them to... No, like 35 actually. That brings them almost to 50 million double
52
deal.
52 if you can actually add.
No, but they said 50, so I'm guessing the other one is 33.
2 million for Wenger's tracksuit for his jacket. And that's big money. Tottenham.
But it's not done
Tottenham
yet.
In for Zaha.
Oh, not really, are they?
They're offering, what, 12 million?
I mean, the reports are saying that they said 12 million and the party just said it's... I'm guessing it's a joke. Because if they did offer 12 million, it's a joke.
But he is keen to go.
Well,
he said he wants
of course he wouldn't mind switching Palace to Spurs. I mean, come on. Why would you still live in
would
London?
Would you, though? Is Palace... I mean, the United...
When he
went to United, he was...
We're in the fucking Champions League. I mean, to be honest, you have to think... Every player always says...
Look how cocky you lot have got. Look how cocky you guys are.
Every player always says that. I want to play in Champions League. Oh, I'm leaving because I want to play in Champions League. Well, we're in Champions League now. So if that's the criterion for all the players who want to leave, and we're a young squad, it doesn't look like a one-season hit. So it's a good place to go. New stadium. It's a great place to go.
Is he going
to... I mean, to be honest, it's the best place to go. If you're a young player... What other team should you go to?
Huddersfield Town. Leicester?
I don't know. I don't think Leicester's... Leicester can, in a season, be back in just being, a mid-table squad. They could be back in 2 years for that. I mean, they don't have extreme big revenues coming in from any other way. They either got to do really well in Champions League or continue doing well in the league. And I don't see them finishing top four again with Champions League pressure on them. I don't think so. I don't think they're good enough to finish top four two years running. And then they're back. So I don't
imagine if they have a Champions League run here.
What's wrong? Like the quarterfinals or something?
Semi-finals.
Semi-final, like Leeds had years ago.
And then it all went to shit for Leeds.
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen. If you lucky with draws and stuff like that. You mean if you
got a decent group, they can get out of that.
And if you get away from, the top teams of Spain, Paris Saint-Germain, Juventus, and the top teams of England, and the top teams of Germany, you can wiggle your way through into the semis. If you're lucky, you get like Sporting in the, maybe Sporting as a surprise run in their group. You get them in the second round. Wow, you win. And there's another surprise. And fucking Monaco spurs up. And Tottenham comes in the quarterfinal. They can beat
because
them.
What happens is you sort of look at it and go, oh, I really hope we get out of our group. And then you get a decent next round. And you're like,
then you're in the quarters.
You're believing, yeah.
I mean, it's not that many rounds. Yeah. I mean, it's knockout rounds and it's quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So, it's interesting.
Let's have a look at Saturday then. Huddersfield at home to Wolverhampton Wanderers. They're unbeaten. I could see us getting battered. The early game in the Premier League. Big game. Spurs at home to Liverpool.
That was Klopp's first game last season. The same fixture. And it was a 0-0 draw. And I remember that game as a very, very high tempo, very, very pressing, but not much happened in the last third. We had a little more than them, but not much.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting a similar kind of thing. But with Liverpool and Spurs, it's always the same thing. Lately, which Liverpool is coming?
Yeah.
It's kind of like
1-1, lost one. It seems to be there, kind of, you know?
Yeah, it seems to be almost be like one good result, one great result, and then one shit result, and then one two great results, and then one shit result. I mean,
yeah.
They consistently have bad results, but they consistently are having great results. Last season, they have a couple of games, you know, that again, the win, 5-4 win, I think it was, then, and then Dortmund games, and even other Europa League games they went through. They had a lot of games that were great last season, and then they had a lot of games that were just, you know.
Where they're expected to win. Interesting bit of transfer talk about Liverpool with Joe Hart, possibly.
Yeah, it was mentioned that today.
Yeah.
Hart is going, apparently, because Bravo just came today.
He has to go.
He was already behind Caviero at the moment, and now Bravo is undisputed number one.
Yeah,
I mean, for sure. He's 33 million. He's supposedly cost 17 million euros, which is a lot of money for a 33-year-old keeper.
Yeah.
I mean, keepers are usually, for some reason, a little bit cheaper, which I've never have understood. And also 33, so it's not very aged for a goalkeeper, but he's still not, it's not like De Gea completely. So he's off, and Everton backed off, said they don't want him.
Well, Koeman said there was no interest at all from them.
So, I mean, can you imagine if the shock happens that he doesn't find a new club this week and he's stuck?
I actually think
he'll at least get a loan.
If he doesn't go on loan, I think it might really ruin his England career. There's no. Allardyce has said he's going to pick him in the squad, but at this point he can, but he can't play him if he's.
No, if he's not playing in City, then he will be out of the English reckoning until he establishes himself as number one in another club. But during that time, somebody can sneak that spot. England has a couple of good keepers.
Against Bucharest in the midweek.
But they were 5-0 up. So, I mean, that didn't say anything, really. It was logical for him to play. If he wouldn't have played him there, that means that he hates him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, fuck you. Because you have to play at least to get him in the shop window.
Yeah.
So, tactically, that's a good reason.
Do you think he's falling out with him or just doesn't rate him?
No, I just don't think he doesn't rate him. No. I think it's no falling out at all. I think he came there and just... he needs to play the way he wants to play. And I think what he was talking about earlier, that he'll try to be more flexible, that he come to Premier League and he'll try to play his way, but he will change if it doesn't work, as he did a little bit in Bayern. But I don't think one of the positions that are not included in that is the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I think in the no circumstances he will play the goalkeeper differently.
Yeah.
He won't play a rigid defense with the defense really in their own half. He won't do that. I mean, in any way. He will at least have a quite high back line. He can't play a low back line. There's no way he can do that. So from that point of view, I think he just decided straight away that he's definitely not in
It'd
the
be
long
an
run.
Excellent move for him, I think, because Liverpool...
If he wants to Liverpool, it would be an absolutely amazing move for Hart.
For both as well.
For both.
Yeah.
For both. I mean, England, Liverpool would get an England goalkeeper, first of all. That's good for their European coefficient. You get another Englishman. It's always good. And then I think he is a solid keeper. I just don't think he's one of the best. And if Pep wants to play the way he wants to play, then yeah, for sure he needs another goalkeeper.
Yeah,
I would say he. Yeah, the thing with Pep, he doesn't only want a keeper that is good at rushing out. He wants them to play well with the feet as well.
Yeah.
And that's many tasks. Neuer could do that very well. Bravo is good at that. You argue Lloris is great at rushing out, but maybe not as good with the feet as he wants to.
They're going into the 31st is when the window shuts, but they're going into the international break as well after this weekend. So there's going to be a lot of movement, surely. Yeah.
Why is international break in the beginning of the season? It's absolutely stupid.
I
hate it. The league just starts.
Yeah.
And then when it's just up and running, we're going to have a break.
And the window's shut and everything. Yeah, yeah.
And now we're going to have a break. Why didn't you have the break when the window... I mean, stupid.
Let's look at the other games. Tottenham, Liverpool, obviously one of the pick of the rounds. Then you got Chelsea at home to Burnley. Everton, Stoke. Crystal Palace, Bournemouth. It's on every week. Leicester, Swansea. Southampton, Sunderland.
That is definitely on every week.
Yeah, but Sunderland seem to be really looking to buy. They're chasing a lot of players. Watford, Arsenal. I remember Watford beating Arsenal in the FA Cup last season. And then Hull City, Man United is the...
Probably not a good time to play Hull.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably the high form of their season, probably.
Yeah. And they're going to know their European League draw today, I think, United. So
yeah, interested for that. But otherwise, I think it's a couple of teams who might be in a bit of a trouble if they don't pick up points. I think that, I mean, if Sunderland loses again, I think it's going to look bleak. It's going to look like, fuck, that's not a start you want. That's a relegation start. You know, you lose your opening games and it doesn't look good at all. And I think same thing kind of goes for, not same thing, but both Leicester and Arsenal are kind of poised to, they gotta pick some points up now because they lost and draw against each other. If they lose again, that's a disastrous start. That's a horrendous 1 point of three games. So they need to pick something up of the games. It'll be interesting if they drop points. Very interesting.
Then let's have a look at Sunday. We got West Brom, Middlesbrough.
Weird Sunday game, isn't it?
Yeah, and then Man City, West Ham. That might should be interesting.
That's a good game, and West Ham
have to bounce back from this Euro League.
Yeah, very similar start to their season. As they had last season when they crashed out of the Europa League and then they went and played Arsenal, had a great result, won straight away, and then played at home and lost.
Yeah.
And this year, kind of similar antics, you know. Losing the first game, a difficult game, winning just the second game, and then losing horrendously in the Europa League. So the kind of, you know. But I think West Ham I feel a lot of similarities from when, like, Spurs were before we kind of challenge regularly for Europe. I mean, 5th, 6th spot. But when we were like 10th, 9th, very similar feeling that getting players, and it's kind of a bit in the newspapers as well, like, it's goodbye. They're not relegation battlers, these ones. Yeah. They're maybe pretenders, but something. It just doesn't reach there. And I feel the same thing with West Ham. Yeah. And then you look, Payet is good. Or look at that play, he's in form. It's not that fucking good, is it? And Andy Carroll, he scores a hat-trick one time every 5 years, and you go, he's going to be the new Shearer whatever. Then he's injured for 45 months.
Yeah, England call up as soon as he gets like a header, hits the crossbar, playing for England, you know?
As soon as he has a run of like, if he scores like 3 goals in 4 games or 3 goals in 5 games in a row, I mean, 5 games, no injury, he plays in a row, stuff, scores a couple of goals, he's always up for England. It's just so awkward. And now Allardyce, we know that he rates him.
Yeah, and he rates Noble as well. That'll be interesting if he calls him up.
I think he'll do what every fucking England manager does.
Yeah.
The job is too big for these guys. The job is too big for the... He'll go there and he won't pick an Andy Carroll because it's expected. Maybe he'll just go, I can't pick him because...
Do you know what? There'll be like 2 or 3 new caps and that's it. And it'll be people...
Yeah, he must have there must be some new players coming in. I don't know who they are at the moment.
Well, Rashford has now gone to the under-21s. He's been called up for that. So, kind of looks like...
But they have a lot of strikers.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to play Rooney still... And is he going to play one striker still? I think with Allardyce, what you'll get, I don't think he'll do as Hodgson. He'll play four strikers just to accommodate all of them, but out of position. I don't think he'll play Harry Kane and then Rooney behind and then Sturridge and Vardy on the flank. He won't do that kind of stupid fucking thing that Hodgson kind of does. You know, I'll just put him on the wing. That's a striking role. Yeah, no, yeah. It's not a striking role. It's a wing role. It's two different positions. So no, he won't do that. I think he won't do that. So that leaves Rashford out of it, doesn't it?
Let's have a look just on the final thing. Let's look at this fantasy football league that we've got up at the moment. If you want to know who's doing really well, I am. I'm 15th and I'm leading. We've got 68 players this time.
Yeah.
How about you? Where are you? You're 37th. That's 22 positions behind me. Where's CJ? Is he?
I don't know where CJ is.
He must be somewhere. The Shrews, that's his team, isn't it?
I think James Mackay.
He's in 50th. So there we go.
All right, and where's last year's winner? Can we find him anywhere?
No, he's fucked off. He's not involved. But the top one is...
Why, he's not playing?
I don't know. Emil Persson. Wasn't Emil that won? No, it was kind of... Yeah, sorry. CJ. Emil Persson. But there was a guy that was leading for ages. Remember last season?
Yeah, who was that?
I thought it was Emil.
No, he was up in the top. He was last year as well.
So, Emil Persson, he's flying. He's in top place.
Well, he's leading with 1 point, so with two teams and then two. It's in the
then
it's
Mateus Johansson, Jimmy Ekström.
Early days.
Joachim Karlsson. It's all looking good. That's the top four. There's the Champion League qualifiers.
Vinny Kearns is there in the top 12.
Gael is a
Jeff cliche. Pitcher, your cousin, right?
Yes, Sheffield Wednesday. That's perfect.
Oh, he's a Sheffield Wednesday supporter.
No, supports Huddersfield Town. He's not a fucking lunatic.
So why does he get...
Because his name's Jeff, isn't it? Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, but it's still the homage to Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a dealer gooner. I would say a dealer Spurs or something. I mean, he chose to take Sheffield Wednesday in his name... Not like.
I think he's just having a bit of fun. Just relax, mate.
Jeffersfield would be more like. No, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand at all. I mean, I think that
maybe he.
I wouldn't call my maybe flat like did, the Emirates.
Maybe. Maybe he signed up on a Wednesday.
You know, White Hart Lane is being removed to the new stadium. Maybe I should call my house White Hart Lane after that. So we go. I'm going to White Hart Lane. What do you mean? White Hart Lane, and that's the name.
One of the greatest experiences I ever had was in White Hart Lane, in your house.
Yeah, I would probably say that all the time. So this prostitute leaves.
Have you ever thought about supporting another team? It's always been Tottenham.
What kind of a weird question is that?
It's not.
Why would you support another team? I mean, I don't remember that...
You don't remember yesterday, mate.
I don't remember that, you know... I don't remember not supporting Spurs, you know?
There must have been a point when you weren't supporting Spurs.
Yeah, of course, but I don't really remember how that felt.
When did you start supporting Spurs?
I was very young the first time I liked them. So it wasn't like...
But how young?
Well, after when Gary Lineker played there.
Yeah.
So like at nine, I really, really...
85, 84.
But like 89, I really liked them. Then my cousin supported Spurs as well and went to London. And was, oh, you like them as well and blah, blah. So from there, it was like you support that. Then you had a team.
Yeah.
So that's done. So when you have a team, you have a team. So
why,
but
why
when
did
you
like
team,
them? Was it their team? Was it
I like the Lineker? In the beginning, I liked Lineker, but I liked because they played gung-ho. You know, that was the only team who...
So even... How old were you, like 8 or 9?
Yeah.
And you were still looking at tactics. What a load of shit.
Not tactics.
You looked at how tight their shorts were.
But that was bad tactics. That was the opposite. I mean, they played just attacking. It was always a lot of goals. They could and they had the famous five and OCR DS. Yeah. And I thought it was fucking cool having five strikers. Absolutely stupid. Fucking idiot. But But back then, when you're 8 or 9, you think like, wow, that is so awesome. Yeah. So I remember these small things. I mean, there was always like this flair. And I remember I had this motto that had, we'd rather lose 4-3 than play 0-0. To Darius.
And Arsenal were boring Arsenal.
Yeah, and I just heard these kind of small things when I went to England all the time. Yeah. And then I just heard those things from my cousin as well. And then I just thought it was... And then, whenever you picked a team, when you played FA Manager or something, even when you was 10, there was always Spurs. So, but I think, to be honest, to support them really, you got to get a bit older, because when I was 10, obviously I didn't get to see any games, or 11 or 12, not my... I mean, it was one game a weekend on telly, and you might have that channel. And if you had it, it was the game they showed. And it was... always one of three teams. It was always Manchester Liverpool. United, it was always Liverpool or Arsenal back then. Those three teams were... It was always one of those three teams. And who was playing? So you were lucky to see a team maybe if they were playing one of them. That was kind of it. So you you were young. So when you got teenage, but you'd never think about that. You kind of thought about it because you kind of got another team for a while. You kind of had Arsenal for a while.
I supported Liverpool when I was like 5.
Yeah, but didn't everybody support Liverpool back then?
Yeah, because they were winning everything.
Yeah.
But that's nice. We started with me getting touched by a priest. We end by you talking about your Hotspur love. Beautiful ending to a beautiful pod. Next time, wear some trousers. This has been an absolute pleasure to be part of my voice in your ears. We don't know where James Mackay is.
He's in France.
Is he, though? Or is it just a weird excuse? Anyway, it's all over. Enjoy your football. Thank you for listening. Share everything you need. Not in that way. Not needles.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.